are not touching the ground. His favored Kentucky team yesterday knocked off the number 6 team in the country. And I just assume that you're going to tell us something about that, maybe. I don't know. But we welcome today our youth pastor, Tony Clark. Tony, it's all yours.
Thanks. I think the last time I was in here, I had people get really nervous because I would stand right here. Are you nervous? I'm really nervous. And I think there's something physiological that goes on. On Wednesday nights, I teach to the youth. Or I talk to the youth, or they talk to me, or whatever. And there's no nervousness. There's something that just happened 30 minutes ago that hasn't happened all week. I'm cotton mouth. Have you had that? To where you just can't. You can't talk. This silly thing, it's going to drive me nuts. So if you see me doing this, just kind of bear with me. And if you see wire coming out of my head, I am a robot. But out of habit, Cole, here. It's every week I end up giving, you know, food away. And Cole loves bananas. I guess he's kind of a monkey. But I want to pray more for myself. And my nervousness, and for me to get out of the way, for me to be able to hide behind not only this little podium, but hide behind God. Because the things that I feel like God has told me to say, I want to be able to say it clear. I want to be crystal clear with the words that we use and how powerful they are. So pray with me if you would. God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us mouths so that we can speak. So, Lord, I pray that you would take my jumbledness and make something clear of this. I pray these things in your name. Amen. There was a bet that I found out about. Is he going to wear a tie? Is he not going to wear a tie? Yes, Laura, I don't know what you bet on, but no tie. Seventh grade, I won't tell you the year, but I remember this very clearly, but I think I was confused because I remember it. I was in geometry class, and we didn't do anything that had to do with math that day. And I remember the teacher asked us, what do you want to do when you get older? What do you want to be when you grow up? And her name was Miss Toller. She's probably gone. She'll never hear this. So I'm not trying to change. Thank you. I'm not trying to change the name to protect the innocent. She asked us, and we had the popular kids. They were telling her all this stuff. They wanted to be a doctor. They wanted to be a nurse. They wanted to be all these things. And she was encouraging. She was like, oh, yeah. Lee, you're going to be, Lee was Miss Toller's daughter, and Lee wanted to be a surgeon, which I believe she actually is a surgeon now. She was like the brain. She was the one that I cheated off of in geometry. And it got to me, and I said, well, Mrs. Toller, and I was all excited because seventh grade, my life revolved around one thing. And it wasn't my family, it wasn't the Bible, it wasn't my sister, whom I really didn't get along with. I couldn't stand her. She was better at everything than me. And I said, and it took a lot of guts for me to say this in front of class because I was a shy kid. I was kind of nerdy, but not in the smart way. I wore the wrong clothes. I wore the Kmart brand stuff. I said, I want to play baseball. That's what I want to do with my life. And she looked at me, and I remember her face. I remember exactly what she said. And now that I'm older, I have to think, okay, maybe she didn't use that word. She didn't swear at me. She said, Tony, you won't play baseball. You don't have the stamina for it. And I thought, okay, encouraging. Devastating. I was devastated the rest of the day, the rest of the week. And I remember going home. I don't know if I cried. I probably got something in my eye or something. So I wiped away whatever that was in my eye. And I remember it bothered me. It's been a long time since I've been in seventh grade, and I still remember that. I don't have the stamina to play baseball. You know what I did? I said, I'll show her. I'm gonna make something of myself. So for every year, baseball was my God. Baseball was my life. And I would play baseball, and I kind of had an edge to myself because of what she said. Tony, you don't have the stamina for it. Well, I don't know what stamina is, but I'll show her. And it really doesn't make sense now that I think about stamina, like endurance, and you don't really, fat guys play baseball. I'm sorry. And that was what I did with my life. And I get through high school, and I finally go to college. Not on academics. Trust me. Academics was not my friend. I got on a baseball scholarship. So I play my 2 years of college, and I'm still thinking about Mrs. Toler. You don't have the stamina for this. The words that she said had a major impact on my life. And I remember I was done with junior college, and, okay, where am I going to go? And I got another scholarship to play at my four-year school. And I remember my anniversary, my reunion. I wanted her to be there because I wanted to say, I want to stick this right in your face. Because I went farther than anybody else on my team. I went farther in sports. And then I gave my life to Christ, and God kind of took that desire away to play baseball and kind of replaced it with what I do right now. And I can't imagine doing anything else. So more than 600,000. That's how many words the Oxford English Dictionary say are in the English language. That's how many words we have. Then if you add in scientific and technical terms, it's well over a million. So here's what I want to do. Since I'm the youth pastor, I feel like I can do this maybe. This is going to be back and forth, if you'll indulge me. I have these following products from other countries, and they were all considered for distribution in English-speaking countries, but they were dropped because their names translated so poorly. So I'm going to give you what the translated name was, and I want to know if you can figure out what the actual product was. Okay, so here's the first one. It's an easy one. Alu Fanny. What? Pepsi? That's close. French aluminum foil. Okay. Didn't make it, so we don't have French aluminum foil. How about Atom Bomb? Atom Bomb. Duh, it's Portuguese tuna. Bull. Not Red Bull. Okay, we all know what that is. Bull. It's a French computer company. Now this is where I'll get in trouble. Crapsy Fruit. Would you buy Crapsy Fruit? Dad, I want Crapsy Fruit for lunch. It's French cereal. Didn't make it here because it translated bad. How about Happy End? You can kind of guess what that might be. Maybe. It's German toilet paper. Happy End. I have Charmin and I have Happy End. I would rather have Happy End. How about Muck? Would you like to eat some Muck? It's Italian yogurt. I have three more. Plop. Oh, stop thinking like that. Scandinavian chocolate. Plop. Pocari Sweat. You want to buy that? In Japanese, it's a Japanese soft drink. Don't know what it tastes like. How about Zit? That's the last one. Zit. It's not an acne medication. It's actually something I would probably like. It's German lemonade. Yoo-hoo! So, we have a lot of words in our English language. Why is it do we choose a lot of times the wrong ones? I remember just this week, I was inviting some friends I play basketball with. I was inviting them to come and hear me speak. I don't know why, because, you know, being nervous and I remember what happened. This was on Thursday. I was playing, and we were supposed to be done, and another group was coming in. And this always happens. The thing I'm teaching on is the very thing that I'm struggling with. And I remember these guys were trying to push us off the court, but we had it reserved. And I'm sitting here going, it's our court. And I was kind of arguing with the guys I'm actually playing with. And one of the guys I invited said, oh, look, Tony's talking about the words that we speak. And I went, okay, you guys can have the court. I'm tired. I don't want to hurt myself. So a lot of times, why do we choose the wrong words so often? I don't know if you struggle with that, but I struggle with that a lot. I struggle with finding the wrong word and using that wrong word, especially with my wife. It always happens. You ever find yourself choosing the wrong word and wishing you had said something else? I feel like sometimes there's been times when I've said the wrong thing and it gets out of my mouth and I'm actually literally trying to grab it, but I still say it anyway because, you know, I'm not smart that way. And it goes out and it's taken the wrong way. Well, I looked up several things that had to do with our mouth, our tongue, the words that we say. By the way, the cover is a little cleaned up from what I wanted. I wanted an actual tongue. Like just a big, juicy, wet, not a dry tongue like I have right now, but a big, juicy, wet tongue on the cover. Because, you know, I'm the youth pastor and I might be able to get away with that today. So, good thing I put the lid on. So I want to read some verses that might have something to do with our tongue. I'm just going to start in the Old Testament. Proverbs 10:19, and my dad clued me in on this when I was a kid, because I would always, foot and mouth disease, I'd put my foot in my mouth, and I was like, Dad, why do I always do this? And he said it, but he didn't like give a reference where it was at, and I was like, well, that's his dad being dad, and I found it. So my dad is kind of smart that way a little bit. He said, or actually, he didn't, but the Bible says in Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. And I remember the time that my dad, the first time I ever heard it, I made a declaration, I put my foot down, I said, I'm never talking again. Because, you know, when I open my mouth, I'm going to sin. And I took that very literal. When words are many, sin is not absent. Kind of has a lot of truth to it. Why would God give us this tool that's so destructive? Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Two more. Matthew 12:19. I'm probably going to come back to some of them. Matthew 12:34. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. That verse kind of scares me. Every careless word. And where we're going to be today is in James. I know a lot of you really love James. James, the brother of Jesus, who didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God until after he was resurrected. I think he knew it, but he didn't want to know it. He didn't want to believe it. Because who would want to have a perfect brother? Not me. I had a perfect sister. And I was the horn guy. So James 3. I'll start in verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilots want to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. So why am I talking about something so depressing? Because we can't tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. I have that underlined and highlighted in yellow. Underlined in blue, but yellow and blue make green, so it's kind of underlined in green. I don't understand that. So, 3 points. First point, words easily become instruments of destruction. You ever been hurt by someone's words? You ever been hurt by someone's words that were intentional? And have you ever been hurt by someone's words and they didn't even know they hurt you? But sometimes those are even worse. He uses three analogies: a bit, a rudder, and fire. A bit for a horse kind of controls that whole animal. When I worked at camp long, long time ago, and the youth that are in here, I probably heard some of these stories. But I remember working at camp, and we had horses that the students could, you know, ride. And this was during when the speaker was talking and the staff didn't have to hear it for the 10th time, the same message. So we were allowed to go and enjoy the four-wheelers, the blob, which was this big oversized balloon in the water. You jump out on it and someone is out there and then they launch them. It's kind of fun and dangerous at the same time. And parents love to send their kids to camp and come back whole. So we're out and we decide we want to ride horses. The last time I rode a horse, I was 7 years old and I got bucked off, like literally bucked off. And the person that was on the horse, she caught me. I fell in love with her right then. But, you know, nothing happened because I was 7. She's like 22. I mean, I proposed and she said, no, it won't work. You're short. You don't know anything about horses. I know how to fall off of them. And so I remember that was in the back of my mind when we got on these horses. And these horses were old and they went on a trail. So they didn't really, you know, gallop or run, or so I thought. Here we go again. So we start going through these trails. And the one thing I remember is these horses were old and they were mean. So the horses would right up against a tree. And why do horses do that? And I'm like, I'm ducking branches and I'm going, okay, this is awful. I'm not having fun. And we get to this clearing. They're trained to follow each other too. Like butt to face, that kind of close. So I remember we get to the clearing and there's like 70 acres on this at this camp. And the guy that's leading it kicks his horse and his horse takes off. And I'm just going, and then the horse in front of him takes off. No kicking necessary. They just follow. And I remember my horse just takes off. I don't know what I said. It probably wasn't nice. But I remember my horse just flying. And I'm going, I can't believe this. I can't believe I'm going to die at camp. And I remember going, stop, stop, and screaming at this horse. And it was like a Western moment. The guide, he did a little turn, and he comes up beside me. He's going, pull back on the reins. I'm going, I am. And I was pulling as hard as I could, but nothing was happening. This horse was like, had a mind of its own. And he gets beside me, and he does exactly the same thing that I did to slow the horse down. If he hadn't have had that bit in his mouth, I don't know where I would have been. I mean, he was going under trees, and I'm going, oh. And hey, this stayed on. That's good. But I remember that. The bit is very vivid for me. That the bit can control such a big animal with such a small piece of metal. I think it's metal, isn't it? Some's metal, some might be wood. A rudder for a ship. I don't really have a whole lot of stories about a rudder for a ship. But just think of how big ships are and how small the rudder is that can control that big vessel. And then the last one is fire. We all know how dangerous fire is. I don't have to give you an elaborate example because we have one. We have a living example when 19 people lost their lives because of something so small that got out of control. This isn't like something that got so out of control, but Chris, you know this story. But I remember when I was at Alpine, the church I was at before here, we had a worship night for the youth. And there were 100, 150 students there. And it was myself and the high school pastor. And we were kind of running it. We did the, we kind of went on the Acts theme. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I had the confession part. And I remember it was a building, probably not this high. And we was going to write down our sins or write down something we wanted to confess that we wanted to just get rid of. And I had this bright idea that, you know, we'll burn them inside. Get where I'm going? So we had flash paper. And the flash paper is like, you light it and it's really a cool trick. So they're writing their sins down or whatever it is. I'm not supposed to look at them. And I had this big tin bucket. It's almost like a horse trough, but it was like that high and that big. And my main concern was the fire alarms, the smoke detectors. And I remember I actually practiced burning stuff and going, okay, it didn't go off. I think I'm good. But it got hot underneath because fire, metal, or tin or whatever. And I remember I was going, okay, I have to move this around. You know, as people, you know, bring their sin up and they light it up and they burn it, I need to make sure, you know, I move this bucket around. And I remember I got so into what we were doing, I brain farted for probably 3 minutes. And no elaborate fire, but what happened was it was right up front. And I remember I was like, oh, I need to move it around. And I try and move it and it doesn't budge. I'm like, uh-oh, it's stuck. So, you know, I was in the mode. I was like, God, you're here. I love this. And these students are in it. All of a sudden, that just instantly went away. And I was like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? Is this place going to burn down? Is there fire underneath? And so I'm like trying to move it a little bit, budge it a little bit, and it's not moving. The carpet had more of a plastic to it. It was a cheaper carpet. Some people probably know what that is like, cheap carpet. And I kick it, and it makes a loud noise, and it just kind of pops. And it's dark, so I can't see, and I'm thinking, resume, fired. So the pastor's son was actually leading worship, and he saw this whole thing go down, and he starts smiling at me like, gotcha. You're going to take me to lunch every single day, and I'm going to extort whatever I can from you. So I remember after it was all over, I mean, that night was ruined for me. There was no worshiping God or anything that night because I was freaked out because I burned a hole in the floor. And I remember we turned the lights up, kids were leaving, and I move it, and it was just melted. It was this melted, black, hard piece of carpet. So I did what youth pastors do. I actually did the right thing. I immediately called my pastor. And I said, okay, I got to tell you something. And he's laughing at me. And I'm like, who told you? He said, well, my son already called me and he told me what happened. And so I took it upon myself to fix the problem. So I take that It was about that big. And I took a little X-Acto knife and I cut out the problem. And I go downstairs to the children's ministry room in a closet and I cut out a piece about that size. And I put it right there. And I do it perfect. It was the wrong color. It wasn't even the right. It was the right carpet. But have you ever walked on carpet a lot and it kind of wears? You could tell. Every time our pastor would get up to speak, he would look at that spot. I kept that for a long time. But James 3, 5 and 6 says the tongue is like a fire, able to burn a whole forest from a single spark. Words easily can become instruments of destruction. Here's the second thing. Words are supposed to build people up, not tear them down. Got a hold of this. Famous bumper stickers. Have you ever seen bumper stickers on cars and you're like, wonder what kind of person drives that kind of car? So, here we go. Here's just a few. I brake for no apparent reason. I've experienced that many times. What are you stopping for? He who laughs last thinks slowest. You get it? Okay. The more people I meet, the more I like my dog. I think you've all heard this one. Sometimes I wake up grumpy. Other times I let him sleep. Where there's a will, I want to be in it. You were thinking there's a way. It's lonely at the top, but you eat better. First time I read that, I went, it's lonely at the top, but you eat butter. What? That's just my brain saying, you're not very smart. Very funny, Scotty. Now beam down my clothes. Be nice to your kids. This is a good one. Be nice to your kids. They'll choose your nursing home. There are three kinds of people. Those who can count and those who can't. Ever stop to think and forget to start again? Okay. So, it's easy to use words to hurt people. You ever wonder what kind of person drives cars like that? Because when it comes to bumper stickers, the words on the outside of the car are often an indicator of what's on the inside. A lot of times. I mean, I've been scared seeing a bumper sticker about guns and get on my tail and I might shoot you. Especially in this state where I'm sure people probably have... How many of you have... No, I don't want to know. But a few encouraging words from one person can be a life-changing experience for someone else. Being a pastor is very lonely, whether you know it or not. It can be such a lonely, discouraging occupation. And for me, I'm sure Chris can attest to this, and anyone who's ever been in ministry, for every one encouraging note or comment, and I discount anything my wife says because she's my wife and she's supposed to be encouraging, although sometimes she's like, well, you really laid an egg that time. But for every encouraging word that I get via text, email, face-to-face, I get personally about 4 negatives. And negatives might not be you're a poor excuse for a human being. It's not really that, but it's hurtful and it's discouraging. That's why I like to keep all of my cool emails and notes. Here's one from one of my students. It was a reply from one of my emails to them and the parents. And it talks about, we're going to be having youth group tonight. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And then she said, thanks, Tony. Happy Turkey Day. I'm so thankful for you. And one just like that is like, I don't get it from that, that person very often. So it meant a lot. So I'm keeping that one. Thought your teaching last night was one of the best. This was a year ago, and I still have it from one of my leaders. On Wednesdays, my favorite day of the week. You know what day it is? It's hump day. And our Wednesdays, we have pastor's lunch. And I'm so glad Gwen's here because I'm going to talk about you. And I remember we were coming back from lunch and the kids were going crazy. And I do need the Gwen's in my life to keep my ego in check. And she came up to me. She was going to the playground and we were going in. And she said, contrary to what you might think, you are not a rock star. Just like that. And I was like, okay, coming from someone else, it might be like a dagger to the chest, but you know, Gwen says that kind of stuff to me all the time. So thanks a heap, creep. So encouraging notes are always helpful. Ephesians 4:29 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. You probably are familiar with this verse. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. I fail. It's funny how February Chris asked me to do this, and immediately I thought Hebrews 12:1-2. That's my favorite verse. I've preached that the last time I preached in front of people that aren't teenagers, that aren't texting right now and texting me going, when you done, would you please sit down? You're boring me. At least you fake it. Whether you're interested or not, I don't know. But, and I forgot what I was going to say. That is so funny. Not really. Hebrews 12:1-2. Thank you. I could go on that rabbit trail, but I won't. Hebrews 12:1-2. And I remember I was like, okay, I've got that. I preached it before. And it was in, I'd prepared for it. Chris said it's going to be a fantastic message because I've been studying since February. Well, I've had other things that I've been doing too. You know, like watching baseball and basketball and football and playing baseball and basketball and doing all kinds of beneficial things. And I remember it was probably October. I sat down to look at it one more time and God said, you're not doing that. And I was like, yeah, but God, I'm ready for that. I don't really have to look over it. I can do this in my sleep. And he said, you're not doing that. And I was like, okay, well then what am I doing? And he said, I want you to talk about the power of the tongue. Because I think our church is not much different than other churches, but I think churches in general have a problem with this. And I think we're too afraid to admit it. I think we fail miserably at it. I don't think we hold our tongue like we should. I did something similar to this talk at the CAP retreat. And I asked them about, you know, give me some words about Christians, about church people. And words came up like hypocrite, dagger right in the heart. And it's because of the things that we say don't line up with the way we walk. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Say it faster. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. What you say, not nearly as important as what you do. I might say, you know what, I'll meet you for lunch. And if I stand you up, I become someone who can't be trusted. Last point, words flow from the heart, not from the mouth. Sure, your brain has a lot to do with that, with choosing the right words. But how we use words is usually a reflection of what's going on in our heart. Let me see if I can find it. Matthew 12. again. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. You know why I work with teenagers? Because I never had a youth pastor. And I felt like I was floundering. Baseball was my God. And I see and I hurt with them. Suicides are pretty high. Some researchers say the average teen gets made fun of 6 times a day. That's 30 jabs per school week and over 1,000 in a year. I'm not sure if that number goes up or down at Christian schools. I've been involved in Christian schools, and sometimes Christian schools are just as bad. Sometimes they teach the right thing, but still, Christian schools have people in them, people that are messed up. I do this because I want to see people, parents, students, take a step. And a lot of times, and I've done this for 20 years, we might take a step forward, but then something happens and we take 3 or 4 backwards, or we take a couple sideways. And it's fluid. It's a journey. It's a process. If you think just because you're over the age of 20, you've got this figured out, be prepared to put a pillow in front of you because you're about to trip and fall. You're not there yet. Not until you die. And the thing that just jumps out at the page from the James verse is verse 8. No man can tame the tongue. So if no man can tame the tongue, why are we even trying? And I was reading some of the notes, some of the commentary, and one of the things that it said was exactly, no man can tame the tongue. But Christ, the closer you get to him, the better you're going to be able to get a hold of it. And Paul talks about how he had to die every single day to himself. And I think he's referring to this too. I think he's referring to everything. But he dies to himself every single day. He doesn't have a hold of it. He doesn't have it under control. And I have kids ask me all the time, is swearing okay? And I want to say you're asking the wrong question, because swearing is something that's flowing out of your heart. And if you're a believer, if someone that came in today and they swore like a sailor, I don't know where that came from, because some sailors don't swear. A lot of sailors don't swear. But just for illustration's sake, they came in here and every word out of their mouth was not a happy, pleasant word. And that person gives their life to Christ. In my experiences, God's not going to change that person just like that. And all of a sudden, he's going to stop swearing. And that's not the issue that we have here. God's going to deal with that person. And that's also where non-Christians come in and say we're hypocrites. Because then they hear us. We might say something that we shouldn't. So there's a disconnect there. God's going to deal with that person, and eventually God's going to show that person, you need to clean up this area in your life. My mom, for her whole life, she smoked. And when I say her whole life, since she was 8 years old. And people have told me that your mom is not in heaven because she smoked. I'm like, well, you're crazy, because she had a relationship with Jesus. She might have just smelt like she's been to hell. But she, if you knew my mom, that was something that just kind of had a hold of her life. And right before she died, probably a couple months before she died, she stopped. It's like, gee, thanks, Mom. Where was that 25 years ago? But the words we say have a profound impact. And I'm going to finish with this. Gwen, be prepared for this. A lot of times the words that we say is like toothpaste. We just, without thinking, we just start saying stuff. You think there's anything in it? Okay. And we just start saying stuff. And it comes out and comes out. And we can't control what we're saying. It looks so good to eat. And before long, it's all gone. And, you know, there's forgiveness, but there's also consequences. And I've read illustrations and I've heard messages very similar to this. And it's like, I want to take back what I said. And they say, well, here's what you need to do. You need to put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's messy. Little minty. It can't be done. Now I'm sticky. Okay. It can't be done. There's consequences to our actions. There always is. But with a relationship with Christ, we can overcome that. So where are you? Where are you with the words that you say? Do you have a problem taming your tongue? This is how I'm going to close. When it comes to criticizing others, which one best describes you? A, I take jabs at people regularly. B, I tend to keep my mouth shut. C, I tend to gossip more than engage in face-to-face conflict. Or D, I have foot and mouth disease and enjoy being critical of others. It's a problem that everyone has. And we'll never get there. We'll never. It's a goal to shoot for. There's goals and then there's goals. And it's something that I struggle with. I had one of my worst fights with my wife last night. And it's funny how that works. Satan knows exactly what I'm talking about. And he did everything in his power to kind of separate me from what I needed to do. Yes, we worked it out. We're good. She's not going to be hurting me anytime soon that I know of. But God is good. With Christ, all things are possible. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. And my pastor, when I was growing up, he would always say, apart from Him, you can do nothing. And it always confused me because I'm like, well, I play baseball. I'm doing something. And then he followed that up with, he said, dude, you can do nothing significant for Christ apart from Him. Yes, you can get up. Well, who gave you breath to breathe? God. Okay, well, then you can't get up without Him. God is the reason why I'm standing here. God is the reason why you guys came out on December 29th, my son's birthday. So, thanks for giving me your ear. And my prayer for you guys is that it's not just another message that you can put in your back pocket, but it's something that you can go home and think about. Maybe even ask some close friends, how's my mouth? Not the looks of it. Do I say things that hurt your feelings? Am I encouraging to you? What do you need from me? So, God, thank you for this message for me. God, I pray that we can not only take this to heart, but we can apply some of the things
that James talks about. So God, as we start off a new year, I pray that we can start it off on the right foot, and that's with you firmly planted in the center of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.